And as Mr. Voice said right there, the moment we know anything, any updates to the Tiger Woods situation, we will bring it to you again. Tiger Woods injured in a single car accident this morning at about 7:15 in Palos Verdes. He's in surgery right now. He suffered injuries to both of his legs. Talking some Lakers today. They lost three in a row. They've lost four out of five. There's some panic in town. The one thing I'm surprised at, John, more than anything, is I bought into this whole idea that, you know, so deep we can survive anything. And the depth just hasn't proven to be successful so far.
Well, I think depth applies to if you lose anybody except LeBron or AD. Those two guys are irreplaceable, wouldn't you say?
Yes, we're finding out exactly how irreplaceable Anthony Davis is.
So, for example, let's say AD was still there, but they lost Dennis Schroeder. I think they'd still be winning.
Me too.
The problem is they've lost AD. And once you lose AD, then all of a sudden all bets are off. Because he's obviously a huge part of your offense, but the big thing is he was the reason they were the best defensive team with the number one defensive efficiency in the league. And now he's out, so they're no longer that. He's that important.
Now, we've been talking about LeBron James playing the third most minutes in the NBA this year, trailing only Julius Randle and Fred VanVleet, guys younger than him. LeBron is age 36. This morning on the Get Up show, Kendrick Perkins was on there, and he was asked, are you worried about LeBron's minutes?
Absolutely not, Greeny. Look, you heard what LeBron James just told us. He said he's not worried about his minutes. And if LeBron James tell us a duck could pull a truck, guess what we better do? We better hook the son of a gun up. Because, look, he has just hit his second stage of his prime. I'm not worried about his minutes at all. I'm worried about the offense, but I'm not worried about his minutes.
There's an American original, Kendrick Perkins. If a duck can pull a truck...
You better hook it up.
He's not worried at all. Here's Zach Lowe on the exact same subject this morning on Get Up.
If any athlete has earned the benefit of the doubt in any sport about his body and his conditioning, it's LeBron James. That said, he clearly wants to win the MVP. And one thing I would tell LeBron is if he takes a night off here or there, especially in this season where so many guys are missing games here or there, it's not going to hurt his MVP case. The Lakers can sit him down if he needs it. But if he's telling me he doesn't need it, this guy knows his body better than anyone. Yes, he's third all-time in minutes played, Greeny, regular season plus playoffs. It makes me nervous. But if it doesn't make him nervous, I got to just say, okay.
Yeah, so these guys are in total disagreement with me. I'm really worried. I'm nervous about the minutes load. I'm nervous about the fact, you know, earlier this year we talked about...
What reason has he given you to be worried?
John, human nature. He stretches the bounds of what we believe the human body can do, but it won't last forever. There is going to be an end date at some point. And what I hope is that he's not worn down during the course of a season. Again, it's not just the course of this season and playing the third most minutes. It's only 71 days off between the end of last season and the start of this one. We're in completely uncharted waters. We have never seen that before. LeBron James playing in the bubble all those games, all the way through the NBA Finals, 71-day break, and now the third most minutes in the league. We don't know. We've never seen this before.
Well, I told you earlier, we have seen this before.
71 days between seasons, John. 71 days.
Well, Will Chamberlain used to play all 48 minutes of a game and then go play volleyball on the Pro Beach Volleyball Tour and then come back and rejoin the NBA.
But we've never seen 71 days between NBA seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – you can't actually dispute that because that's never happened.
No, true. But I've also – I don't think LeBron's given us any reason to worry about his workload.
Well, what I don't want to worry about is when we get to June and July. That's what I don't want to worry about. Because these games, they're not going to win a bunch of them without Anthony Davis. So why play LeBron 42 minutes? If you're not going to win games, and I'm
well, that game last night was winnable.
It was right on the hinge. I mean, they blew a 17-point lead.
Right, and LeBron actually had an and-one at the end of regulation that would have put the Lakers
correct.
Up one, but he just missed the free throw.
Yeah, missed the free throw. But, I mean, LeBron, they turned the ball over too much, all that stuff.
Agreed, yeah.
But if you're not going to win games, like, for example, tomorrow night, I don't know what the spread is. What do you think the spread is on tomorrow night's game? You're not a gambler, but you're usually pretty good.
Yeah, I would say Utah by 6, maybe 8.
The spread for tomorrow night is Utah by, actually, no line yet. Oh, no, Utah by 7.5. You're right on it.
Yeah.
Utah by 7.5. Now, it's a game that I don't expect the Lakers to win. Do you expect the Lakers to win that game?
Well, Utah's won, I think it's 21 of their last 24, something like
correct.
That.
Correct. And they're at home.
Yeah, it's a tall order. I mean, I'm not ruling the Lakers out. They could surprise some people, but Utah deserves to be the favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are the favorite. They played unbelievably well this year, and I think it's a tough game for the Lakers to win. And particularly this group, which struggled against the 10-17 Washington team last night and ultimately lost against a team that's been on an absolute tear, on an absolute mission this year, I think makes tomorrow night a likely Lakers loss. And if we're going to lose, why expend all that energy? Why have LeBron expend all that energy?
Because he can. I think that's, you know, there are people that you're questioning whether or not that he can keep up this workload. I think he thinks that it's nothing to worry about.
I know he thinks he can, and I know,
and like
he
Zach
believes
Lowe said,
he can.
Who are we to tell him different?
Yeah, as a Lakers fan, I'm worried. Earlier this year, we talked about, hey, look, he's only playing 31 minutes a game. He's at a career low minutes average. And now all of a sudden he's played more minutes than all but two players in the league. The tables have turned. It's a completely different script. And even Frank Vogel talked last night about finding a way to balance his minutes. And I, you know, we had a caller earlier saying, hey, why not 25 minutes? Why not 28 minutes? Why not 30 minutes? Why not just play him less minutes? I'm all for that. If tomorrow night gets out of hand, if it doesn't seem like a winnable game, hey, take a seat early.
Okay, so coming up next, we are going to call Michael Eaves, who is covering this story for ESPN.
Yes.
And if you're wondering what story that is, if you've been out driving around and you just haven't heard yet, Tiger Woods was involved in a single car accident this morning in Rancho Palos Verdes. They needed the jaws of life to get him out of the car. And he is now, according to his agent, Mark Steinberg, in surgery at a local hospital with multiple injuries to his legs. And Michael, who's a part of ESPN's golf team and has interviewed Tiger many, many, many times, is going to join us coming up here. And then later in the hour, Mace, we're going to track down Dr. Clapper, and he's going to tell us what might be happening at the hospital. Now,
yes.
We don't have any details, but Dr. Clapper's great at explaining why you need to get in there and what needs to happen.
And he can definitely talk about the back surgery that Tiger just had.
Right.
And also detail that.
What happens when you have a car accident and why it's important to get into surgery quickly. So we'll get into all that coming up.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Michael Eaves expected to join us in just a couple of minutes, part of ESPN's golf team. And in case you have not been listening, Tiger Woods was involved in a single car rollover accident this morning at about 7:15 in Palos Verdes. He's in surgery now at a local hospital. He was extricated from the car via the jaws of life. The car absolutely totaled. into a ditch up there in Palos Verdes.
As many of you know, we're owned by ESPN and Disney, and so is ABC 7, Channel 7 in Los Angeles. And they just had Dr. Anthony Cardillo on, who is an ER specialist and the CEO of Mend Urgent Care. He was providing kind of a timeline as to what happens when a guy like Tiger gets into an accident and the procedure that entails. Here's Anthony Cardillo giving us what happens normally when a car accident like this occurs.
Well, let's just walk this from the beginning. I will tell you, just looking at the image there, that this is a major casualty incident, right? A rollover with a trapped individual. LA County responded, LA County Fire and LA City Fire, perhaps the most premier trauma paramedics in America, if not the world. So we had a great team responding early on to extricate him from that vehicle. Looks like they had to use the jaws of life, which is basically an instrument that is used to extricate a person from a vehicle that is trapped, that cannot get out by themselves, or if the car is too severely damaged. As you can see there in that image, it looks like the entire front of the car is collapsed in, so that would have accounted for the utilization of that jaws of life. He was then taken to Harbor UCLA Medical Center, which again is perhaps one of the most premier trauma centers in America, if not the world. Harbor UCLA is touted as one of the best trauma programs that we have in the nation. So he was brought to an excellent place with some of the most qualified trauma physicians in America to take care of him. And they promptly would have evaluated him for any trauma starting from head to toe. So they would have done CAT scans on his head, on his cervical spine, on his chest, looking for any cervical spinal injury, any intrathoracic or chest injury, and then intra-abdominal. So another CAT scan of the lower abdominal area, pelvis, and lower extremities. It sounds like, and this is the only report we have so far, is that he suffered lower extremity injuries. This is very common in these sort of car accidents where you will crush your pelvis, you can fracture your femur or the long thigh bones all the way down to the tibia, in the ankle area. So one of those bones, it sounds like, was severely damaged. And we usually rush them to the OR if it is either A, severely damaged, or B, if it is an open fracture, or C, if the pelvis is involved and the pelvis bleeds extensively. So we don't know the extent yet. It sounds like he is in great hands, though, at Harbor UCLA. He's in the OR with some of the best surgeons in America. So we do expect he's going to do well. We just don't know the extent of his injuries at this juncture, and I'm sure they'll be giving us reports very soon. But it sounds like he is in the most capable hands we have possible here in LA County right now.
Okay, and that is Dr. Anthony Cardillo, who is an ER specialist and CEO of Mend Urgent Care. Some excellent perspective there on exactly what happens after an accident like this. And they were just by crane lifting the SUV out of that ditch, I'm sure, for further investigation. At 3 o'clock, we will have for you the press conference being held by the LA Sheriff's Department, all the details about the accident and what we know so far.
And again, all we know now is that Tiger's in surgery. ESPN is reporting that the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening, which is the one thing you want to hear right after you've heard that they use the jaws of life. If they use the jaws of life to get somebody out of a car, it's serious by nature. It's life-threatening almost by default. And the fact that ESPN and others are reporting that these injuries are not life-threatening is exactly the sentence you're looking for when you're covering a story like this. And that's not to make light of the fact that his golf career may be in serious jeopardy, but the one thing you don't want is anything life-threatening, and it appears that that is the case. So that's what we're waiting to update, is whether or not, he's okay. Basically what his condition is once he comes out of surgery.
Yeah, and we saw Tiger Woods at the Genesis Open talk with Jim Nance on Sunday, and he talked about his back surgery, which he had in December. He had a microdiscectomy, actually removing part of a vertebrae, which was impinging the nervous cord, the spinal cord. He is recovering from that and was dealing with that injury and talked about the slow and steady progress he was making. And now, obviously, there are bigger things involved than Tiger's golf career. He's a father. And we've seen his son at some of his golf tournaments. You know, it goes well beyond golf. We're talking about one of the most iconic figures in the history of Los Angeles sports, in the history of international sports. And he's in surgery right now.
And I know we mentioned this off the top of the show, and it might even have been, we went in the air early today when we heard the Tiger news, but I want to circle back to the fact that Tiger introduced, you know, we went through a year, Mace, after the George Floyd killing, where racial justice has been front and center. And equality is something that is openly debated and talked about all the time. I mean,
sure.
You know, from Colin Kaepernick to, you know, the George Floyd incident and all the rioting and the protesting that we had in the streets and you know, all of it. Tiger Woods took a sport that maybe along with hockey was the whitest sport in the world.
Yeah.
It just wasn't part of the culture for minorities. Occasionally you would have a guy like Calvin Pete or Lee Elder that would, you know, win a tournament or break through and be part of the scene. But there were no black kids growing up saying, I want to golf. That all changed when Tiger came along.
Yep.
And to help us talk about that is our friend Michael Eaves. For those of you who don't know, Michael was a big part of Fox Sports Western Prime Ticket for many, many years before ESPN wisely hired him away. And he's now part of the ESPN golf coverage on a regular basis. And Mike, let me start there. I'm trying to explain to people, and you could do it better than I can, that until Tiger came along, young African-American kids, and you were one of them, just weren't into golf. There was no avenue or no desire to play it. He kind of changed everything, didn't he?
I don't think that's completely accurate, John, because I was a young kid who did play golf before I knew who Tiger Woods was.
Okay.
Now, were we playing at the same rate that we were playing basketball, football, and baseball? Of course not. But there were several black kids around the country that were playing golf at the time, including junior tournaments that were put together by local black golf clubs in and around certain communities in the country. So yeah, they were there. But what Tiger did was he gave those kids the idea that they could not just be good at it, but they could be the best in the world. When Tiger won the Masters in 1997, he did it in record fashion, and he blew everyone away. So he looked like Michael Jordan out there to these young kids, and that changed the dynamic of how golf looked to a larger portion of younger athletes around the country, especially black athletes. But the problem with golf is that it's a very expensive sport to play, from equipment standpoint to just being able to go and hit balls and play. And that's why so many of the golfers that you see come from country clubs, not from daily fee courses or municipal courses like where I grew up. And that's the major issue for young black kids that are playing golf. And that's why, even though it's been, what, how many years since Tiger won his first tournament, that you don't have still that many black golfers on the PGA Tour. You have Cameron Champ and you have Harold Varner Jr. In addition to Tiger. So those roadblocks are still there from a socioeconomic standpoint, but I think eventually you'll see more and more black kids playing.
Tiger is such an iconic figure. I mean, I was saying this earlier, but if you mentioned to any, heck, my mom, if you said Tiger Woods, I think she'd have the image of his face in her head. He is just a staggeringly famous, unbelievably talented, magnetic, charismatic figure. And I think that speaks to the reason why virtually everywhere you go today, whether it's cable or local television or here on radio, everybody is following this story so carefully.
Yeah, I mean, like, we often use the word transcend the sports, transcend the game. We use it way too often, quite honestly. But Tiger Woods is clearly one of those transcendent athletes because of the way that he burst on the scene as a young phenom, as a prodigy, this black Asian kid playing this white sport at country clubs and being the best in the country and then eventually becoming the best in the world. Yeah, he is that guy that, you know, someone who's never picked up a golf club or even watched the Masters will know who it is and will be interested to find out what happened to him because of his iconic status. And, you know, when I first heard the news earlier today, my first reaction, my heart skipped. I was like, you know, God forbid something tragic has happened to Tiger Woods, right? That was my first thought. And then, you know, you start going through some of the reporting and getting more and more information. You're like, oh, thankfully the injuries aren't life-threatening, at least aren't considered to be life-threatening. So then you start going to the physical aspect because he is an athlete. And while we should be concentrating on the fact that he's alive right now and that's the best news, he is an athlete. And so now we're like, all right, well, how bad are the injuries? When do we get to see him play again? There was already doubt that he's going to be able to play the Masters after another back injury. Now will he ever be able to play again? That's where fans go, and they talk about their greatest athlete. So there's concern, Mason, on multiple levels here. First of all, his physical well-being, hoping to be able to walk at some point after potentially breaking both of his legs. But then the idea of could he ever come back to some sort of competitive golf again?
Michael Eaves is our guest. Who Michael works at ESPN. He's a Sports Center anchor. He's also part of their golf coverage. Worked a lot of years with us out here in L.A. Mike, there used to be a rule when you were televising golf that if Tiger was in the final group on Sunday, that your ratings were pretty much guaranteed. Does he still have that cachet? With all the tournaments he's missed and everything he's taken off, is he still that guy in the TV world?
If he's in contention, absolutely. Like, it's dramatic if you look at some of the ratings numbers through the years and even, you know, in the later part of his career, if he's in contention versus if he's not, or if he's not even in the field, those numbers can drop off dramatically. So, yes, he is still the guy that can move the needle all by himself. And, you know, quite honestly, over these later years, when we're waiting to find out, John, if he could get to the point where he could win again before winning the Masters a couple years ago, even if he was close, you'd still want to show every single shot because you were looking to see if there was an indication of what physical pain he may or may not have been in, right? So, like, you're always trying to show him, and sometimes, you know, some fans are like, why do you keep showing Tiger Woods? Because he's Tiger Woods. That's why. You're going to show Michael Jordan. You're going to show, you know, some of the greatest of all time whenever they're in contention or on their field of competition, right? And Tiger is that guy. And he's, whatever reason, he's always going to be that guy if he's ever on a golf course.
Hey, listen, Michael, know you're incredibly busy right now. I know you've got a lot of demands on your time. Appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
There's Michael Eaves from ESPN. Yeah, as of this moment, we know nothing more than when we started the show this morning at about 11:30. So Ramona Shelburne is at the hospital. The moment there is news, the moment there is any information about Tiger Woods, we will bring it to you. At last report, he was in surgery dealing with injuries to both of his legs.
And coming up a little bit later this hour, Dr. Clapper will join us. He'll tell us what we're, I hate to use this word, but it's true, what we're rooting for in that operating room, what we want to hope see happen, and what may be going on in there. And then coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, the L.A. County Sheriffs are holding a press conference explaining what they know about the accident and how it happened and what is the latest. So all that's still to come.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. Again, as Chris Morales said there, we are all over this Tiger Woods story involved in a single car rollover accident this morning in Palos Verdes. He is in the hospital now after being extricated from the SUV via the jaws of life. He is in surgery suffering injuries to both of his legs. I think that is what we know as of this moment.
And here's an update from ESPN TV. We know a lot of you count on us to, you know, you're at work or you're in your car, and we'll be covering the latest on this story. ESPN TV has just announced that they will cover Tiger Woods exclusively through 4 p.m., through the end of Mason in Ireland, anchored by Matt Barry, Ramona Shelburne, on site from the hospital. So if you haven't seen the images, they're on ESPN TV from now until the end of our show at 4 o'clock. So if you want to see what it looks like, you can go to ESPN, and of course, we'll keep you informed of anything that changes, including Dr. Clapper coming up later this hour, and at the top of the hour, the LA Sheriff's press conference announcing what happened with the crash.
All right, so in addition to keeping track of that, we're also reacting to last night's Lakers loss to Washington. The Lakers have now lost 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. One of the subjects for discussion today is LeBron James' minutes. He's played the third most minutes in the NBA, and he's doing that at age 36. Earlier this morning on the J. Will and Keyshawn, on KJZ, as I like to call it, the Keyshawn Morning Show, here's a conversation between J. Will and Keyshawn.
How do you manage LeBron James' minutes? How many games do you sit him out? You have to start thinking load management for LeBron. I do not think seating is as important in this race. With no fans in the stands, it doesn't really matter. It makes sure that LeBron James is healthy and ready to go and fully rested when you get to that point of the season. So you have to start building in some strategy for him to get some nights off.
Well, I think you take your cue from the player, though, Jay. And if LeBron feels like he can still go at a 36-minute type pace, then you allow him to do it. He's there for his teammates, like he said. He's not there to worry about load management. He's there to continue to get those guys better, continue to keep pushing. And everybody understands that not having Schroeder in and not having AD there with them, things are going to be a little more difficult.
And LeBron James absolutely hates the conversation about minutes restrictions. In fact, last night after the loss to Washington, he talked about this narrative.
I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. You know, we all need more rest. I mean, this is a fast turnaround from last season, and we all wish we could have more rest. But, you know, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates. And if I'm hurt or if I'm not feeling well, then we can look at it then. But I have nothing but honest people around me, but I'm also honest with myself as well. And, you know, me having the love for the game and me being able to be available to my teammates is more important than anything.
You know what's interesting about this is, you know, we're having this discussion about when and how the Lakers should find minutes to rest LeBron.
And if.
Shouldn't we be praising him for being the one guy like Michael Jordan that shows up all the time?
Well, I think it's fear, John. I think a lot of Laker fans are just afraid. Afraid that if he plays too much during the regular season, and I put myself in this category as a Lakers fan, afraid that if he plays too much now, that he'll be diminished to whatever degree in June and July. And last night, John, I think he was fatigued in that fourth quarter. He ended up, I think, with 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter. He was not a he did acknowledge after the game that he was not at his sharpest. But fatigue is a real thing,
right? And but my base, you would admit that a tired LeBron is still better than a completely not tired backup, right?
Absolutely. But you're talking about a single game. Is a tired LeBron as good as a fresh Kawhi? Is he better than a fresh Kevin Durant? I mean, measuring him against himself isn't really the thing. Kevin Durant obviously isn't playing right now. Kawhi is taking his days off, his games off, as he normally would. Paul George is on a minute. All that stuff. I mean, the Clippers are doing this differently, whether that's player-driven or organizationally driven. They are playing guys less, and they are sitting guys.
Can I counter that with last year, the Lakers didn't sit LeBron. They didn't play load management, and they won the title going away. They didn't
you
even
can
get
definitely
pushed
make
to
that
seven
case.
Games.
It's a year later. He had 71 days off between the seasons. 71 days was all he got. 71 days of break where it normally would be, what, 4 months?
Yeah, he's never given us a reason to doubt his fitness. And now we're all kind of doubting his fitness.
You're saying this is not – I'm not doubting his fitness. Don't phrase it like that.
What are you doubting?
That he's going to play too much now and will be diminished to whatever degree in June and July. And I think that's, by the way, a common thought. That's why
I agree. I think a lot of people think it, but I think if you study his history, it's just not true. I mean, if you look at his playoff runs, his deep finals runs, he's got four NBA Finals MVPs. Four. And he's played that the same amount of minutes he's playing this year in all those seasons. So, I mean, that wouldn't that be the – I mean, I see you're saying the difference now is that there was a shorter off season. But 71 days.
And the difference is he's 36 years old. He's 36 years old. He's in his, what, 18th season?
Yeah, but that, to me, he's at 36 in better shape than most 30-year-olds.
And I think that matters. I still believe it matters. 36,
even though he says it doesn't.
Even though he says it doesn't, yes.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, Dr. Robert Clapper will join us. We're talking about the Tiger Woods automobile accident that happened this morning at about 7:15 in Palos Verdes. At last report, he was in surgery at UCLA Medical Center. And we'll talk to Dr. Clapper about both kind of the process of getting somebody out of a vehicle and getting them into surgery quickly, and also about Tiger's previous surgery, the back surgery he had back in December. All right, we are keeping track of the biggest story of the day, which is Tiger Woods being involved, as Mr. Voice had to say there, in a single-car rollover accident this morning in Palos Verdes. He's in surgery, at least as last reported, in surgery at the UCLA Medical Center. And joining us right now is our friend, Dr. Robert Clapper, orthopedic surgeon from Cedars-Sinai. Dr. Clapper, how are you?
Great. I want to thank both you and John for doing promos for the Weekend Warriors show. I really appreciate it. This Saturday is my 10th anniversary on 710. Can
no
you believe
kidding.
It?
Oh, that's
wow,
great.
Congratulations.
That's great. Okay, Dr. Clapper, let's start here. In an accident like this one this morning that Tiger was involved in, they said that they needed the jaws of life to get him out of the car and that he's in surgery now with multiple leg injuries. What is likely going on in that operating room?
The only reason we would take someone directly to surgery, because even if you break a bone, we can put you in a splint. You know, we don't have to necessarily put you in a boot. So what causes us as orthopedic surgeons to need to take you to surgery right away? One, that the bone is exposed. You didn't just fracture it, but it's called an open fracture. You need to get to it because otherwise the risk of infection is there. As in Alex Smith, for example, you have to operate right away. What else causes us to say you got to come right away for surgery? A dislocation where the joint, the bones above and below are not lined up the way they're supposed to be. It's out of place. It's dislocated. That will take you to the operating floor. God forbid there's a vascular injury, you know, where there's bleed. You got to go to surgery right away for that. So it's serious when they're talking about we took them to surgery right away for these leg injuries.
Tell me about the process of actually the officers or the medical people getting to the scene of an accident. And take me through what happens from that point.
You know, the ABCs, the airway, breathing, circulation, that's what we call it. You have to assess their mental status. So there's a whole coma scale that you have to go through. Because a lot of orthopedics is asking someone, does this hurt? Does it not hurt? You need them to be the right mental state of mind to be able to answer that question correctly. Because if there's head trauma involved, then all of that stuff goes out the window. So the vital signs tell you a lot, even if they can't tell you a lot. So there's many systems that we go through, but it all starts with vital signs and their mental status. From that point, if you assume they're okay, their mental status is okay, and you can ask the right questions, you really got to be very careful. That's why we run on the field immediately after an injury, because you could hurt someone. God forbid he's hurt his neck. That's something that's not even being mentioned. You got to wonder about his neck, and sometimes an x-ray is not enough. You got to get a CAT scan to see three-dimensionally what the bones look like, how they're lined up, because the precious spinal cord is right there. So those are the first things that we look for, is the airway, the breathing, the circulation, and we take it from there.
We're talking to Dr. Robert Clapper, host of the Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN LA, and an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, and really our go-to guy anytime something like this happens. All right, Dr. Clapper, this is an unusual word to use, but I'm going to say, what am I rooting for in that operating room as a Tiger Woods fan? What, as a surgeon, do you hope to see when you get in there, particularly in a situation like this, when someone has been in an automobile accident?
I would say this, John Ireland. The thing that you're really rooting for, even if the bone is sticking out of the skin, you know, Joe Theismann, we all witnessed that injury.
Right.
an open fracture, or Alex Smith. What I root for is that the fracture, the injury, is in the mid-shaft of the bone. Let's talk about your thigh. That's called the femur, mid-shaft femur. We could put a rod down and shish kebab the bone. The tibia, the shin bone, I'm rooting for a fracture in the middle of the bone. Why? Because all I have to worry about is, will it heal after surgery, and will it heal in the right, correct angle? It's like a jigsaw puzzle to put back together again. Here's what we don't want to have happen, that the injury goes into the joint, either the knee or the ankle, because then you have to worry about a third thing, which is arthritis. You need the beauty of the bones above and below the joint to be lined up, but if there's any of the injury that goes into the joint, that affects everything, and that's where the future is really compromised, if the fracture or the injury enters the joint. So if you hear that there's a dislocation involved, if you hear that the fracture extends into the joint, that's what you don't want to hear.
Dr. Clapper, all of this is complicated, I would think, by the fact that Tiger Woods had back surgery in December. He had a lumbar microdiscectomy. Describe what that procedure is, and is there a chance that there's been any impact on the procedure based on what happened today?
So when you heard that soundbite that Jorge was playing, I think Jim Nance was interviewing him, you heard Tiger Woods use the word, we're going to make sure we're getting another MRI to make sure the annulus is okay. So I just want you guys to understand what the annulus is when you're talking about a spine. So are you ready for a clapper vision?
Yes.
So the spine, whether it's your neck, the thoracic spine where the ribs are, or between your ribs and the pelvis, better known as the lumbar spine, those three areas of the spine, and his surgery was to his lower back. I'm worried about injuries to his neck, cervical spine from this accident, but let's talk about his back surgery. All the bones that line up in your spine, the bone, the clapper vision, is an Oreo cookie. It's the cookie. The cream filling of the Oreo cookie is the disc. Some people will use jelly donuts. I prefer the Oreo cookie because everybody knows what bone is like. It's rough, and what the cookie is like, and yet that beautiful cream filling. Well, an injury to your spine that causes sciatica, a pinched nerve that he was dealing with, is as though you took the cookie and squeezed it as hard as you could, and the cream filling now juts out beyond the cookie itself. That's what a bulging disc is. Surgery is to go in with the microscope and see the cream filling using all kinds of special tools we have to essentially clean up the toothpaste that came out of the tube, to clean up the cream filling that went beyond the cookie. The annulus is as if there was saran wrap around the cookie containing the cream filling. The annulus rips to allow the cream filling to come out. Here's the thing. We don't scar the annulus as human beings, and the risk of a re-herniation is there, and that's what they're going to be looking at with this MRI that was planned for, that he didn't re-herniate the disc. So the question you're asking is, could this accident have caused a re-herniation of the disc? And yes, that's what we're going to need to look for.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. Clapper, as always, hey, congratulations. 10-year anniversary of the of the Weekend Warrior Show. Is there going to be an anniversary show?
Yes, and I have a special guest who actually hired me 10 years ago, calling in from Ohio. You know who it is.
Oh,
and
good.
I can't wait to talk about
how.
What did he see in me that said, you're an orthopedic surgeon? Nope. You should be on the radio. I feel like Howard Cosell was a lawyer, and Rune Arledge said, you can announce Monday Night Football. He saw something in me, and I'm forever grateful.
Excellent. You've been doing it ever since. Dr. Clapper, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
10 years, huh?
Yeah, I'm up that – you're never up that early, but I'm always
never
up that early, and I was
it's
driving in this –
It's a rumor to me. That early is a rumor to me.
This weekend, it's such an interesting show. He has such a great way of – telling stories and making, like, you know, he'll bring in the Beatles, or he'll bring in Mad Men or Breaking Bad, or it's great. It's a really
fun
show.
Cultural references. Yeah, he's an unbelievably smart guy. And did he or did he not operate on Michael's hip?
He did Michael's hip replacement, and Michael says he feels great.
How long was Michael down for?
Maybe he'll be in tomorrow. He can do this, but I think he was walking with a cane for about 3 weeks, and then he started walking normally, and now you can't even tell.
That's amazing. All right, as of this moment, our understanding is, and that Tiger Woods is still in surgery at UCLA Medical Center, and you heard some of the possibilities in terms of the way Dr. Clapper was describing it. The fact that he's in surgery, we're not talking about just a broken leg, it sounds like. It sounds much more complicated than
well,
that.
His agent, Mark Steinberg, said that he is having surgery for multiple leg injuries.
Yes.
Which would seem to indicate that both legs were hurt and that maybe in more than one place. And anytime you need to use the jaws of life, it's serious. Just by that alone, if the jaws of life. Now, what the thing we were hoping for and we saw fairly early was that these injuries are not life-threatening. So that's what ESPN's been reporting for the last few hours. A police source told ESPN that the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. So now what we're hoping for and rooting for is that he can come out of this and without any permanent damage. You know, some of these guys, like Alex Smith, Dr. Clapper mentioned, the football player for the Washington football team, many yeah. people said that he – not only would he never play football again, he might not even be able to walk or run normally, and none of that turned out to be true. He was able to come back from all of it. So, that's what we're kind of hoping for. And if you're wondering what happened in the accident, what L.A. County Sheriff's deputies found and any other details from the accident itself, coming up in 10 minutes, they are having a press conference, the L.A. County Sheriff, simply to describe and discuss and take questions about the accident. So we'll carry that for you live in about 10 minutes.
Yep, that's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.